So we're kind of truncating the whole growing season here at Plank Chapel. We'd already broken ground and tilled the soil and planted seeds and tended our garden, and we've come to the day of harvest. And we hear Jesus tell us that the harvest is plentiful. And what I want to share with you is, in the Common English Bible, which we worked out of in our early worships this morning, it said that the harvest is unimaginable. Unimaginable, the bounty that God has for the world. So I want us just to spend some time with thinking about that harvest. And often I think we spend the time thinking that that harvest that Jesus is talking, that harvest that is plentiful, are those who've been in the pews or been in Sunday school or vacation Bible school who are just so ready to say yes to God because they've heard God's word. But that, I don't believe, is the harvest that God is talking to us about. The harvest that is beyond our imagination, beyond our ability to comprehend, that harvest is the salvation of the world. So that means that in throughout the whole world, there are people who have never even heard, but they are there, ready, willing, seeking. We hear all sorts of things about those seeking, and what they're seeking is some way to belong. Belong to something, belong to someone. And God is saying that that harvest is there. And all we have to do is go out into the fields and gather them in. Because we know that other people are gathering them in. It's the reason why our gangs grow. Our gangs find those who are lost and alone and in need of being belonging and thinking that whoever they belong to can take care of them and get rid of all the things they're afraid of. So they join the gang. Or they hear about this terrorist group that can take care of them, that will welcome them in, that will allow them to express their anger in any way they wish to express it on the ones that they believe harm them. And that group gathers them in. There are many gathering the lost and the lonely and those in need, gathering them in for their own purposes and not for the sake and the care of that beloved one that was growing in God's garden. We need to be those lambs who are going out amongst those wolves, whether they be terrorist recruiters, gang recruiters, whatever recruiter they may be. We need to be the ones going and telling them a different story, telling them the story of God's love for them, telling them how valued they are by God, how beloved they are by God, how we can welcome them into this community, into this body of Christ that will love them just as they are and call them into growing and being the one that God created them to be. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. God has been that intimately involved in everyone's life. But so many don't know it. That is the harvest. Those are the fields ready to be harvested. But then we hear the other. The laborers are few. Now, anyone who has sat on the nominations and lay leadership committee will agree, the laborers are few. It is very hard to get people to do the work that God has called them to do. So it even made me think about this idea that I have had about a community garden. And as I talked to Tim about how we could get that going and talked to Donald Rose and talked to a few others who have gardens, what I hear from them is they have gardens that produce so much and have such need of tending that some are getting too old to do that tending and harvesting in the amount that they're growing, and others have other jobs that require them to be away. So guess what happens to what is produced? It gets lost, just as souls get lost. And to think that we have this abundance that we cannot imagine in our community that could feed people if we had laborers in the fields. Donald Rose would love to have someone come and weed and help her pick her harvest. Come behind that hoe. And Tim would like the same. And I've heard of others. The opportunities, brothers and sisters, are there for us to be God's transforming agents. But the first part of the passage is sometimes where we're at, isn't it? When that nominations person calls you and says, hey, we need a Sunday school teacher. And the first thing is, well, I don't know how to teach. Or I can't get to church by 10 o'clock to teach. Or we end up finding more excuses why we can't serve in God's garden and be laborers in the field. And then the pool of people who say yes gets smaller and smaller and smaller. I was at a youth training meeting yesterday morning, and the trainer said this one piece that I wanted to share with all of you, because we often think about, well, we're burning people out, so we need to rotate people in and rotate people out. And there are some positions in working in God's kingdom that need a good rotation, or we're going to get burnt out. But there's others that are our passion, are our gifts. And he talked about the longevity of a teacher with a student from kindergarten through high school when we graduate them and send them on their way. And they knew that person intimately. They don't go to see the pastor. They go to find their teacher. They talk about their youth leader, not the ordained person who is in the pulpit. Those relationships become the foundation, become the fertile soil in which we get to harvest that fruit. And it is that community relationship, that bond that happens when we say yes to be a laborer in God's field. And some of us may labor for over 50, 60 years behind an organ because that was the gift of leadership and worship and music. And to think that Janet in the choir, they haven't asked me yet for a rotation out because that's their gift, their passion, where they want to be to serve. We have the potential to transform the world. It is when we take all the reasons why we can't do it that we minimize the harvest that God can imagine here. And we say, no, it can only be the size of our budget, or it can only be the size of our volunteers, or it can only be the size of the children and youth we have in our midst, or it can only be, and we begin to shrink the vision God has for the community. But when we open ourselves to that vivid imagination of the great gardener, the master gardener, who says, the harvest is unimaginable, and all I need are laborers to bring it forth, we can remember that the laborers don't have to do extraordinary things, just ordinary things with extraordinary love. Because it's about the relationship with God to us and us to the world sharing that same love. Consider what God is doing here. Consider the relationships that you build at work, that you build at home for those who are retired, the places where you socialize. I imagine, I've never been there, but I imagine at Kittrell Grocery, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, there is a community of men that gather and share and worry when someone isn't there and begin to ask those questions. Community happens when we care about one another. But the community of God that is in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son, offer something so much more than the world has to offer. So the harvest is plentiful. All we have to do is to be willing workers in that harvest. And if I can find it, yep, I want to share some words before I close by Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry has for 40 years lived and farmed in Kentucky. And he says this thing about community and farming. And what I want to emphasize here before you hear his words is we often think it's the big box church or the big box store that has the answer, but it isn't. It's about small, intimate community where you know you matter. That when I look out here and I see you're not in your pew and you move, I have to find you. But you can be very much aware I'm watching who is and who isn't here. Not because I'm taking that attendance and going, okay, but it's because of care. And others do that same thing too. Because I know there's a few of you who make phone calls when people are missing. So listen to what he says about the farm. I live in a part of the country that at one time a good farmer could take some pleasure in looking at. When I first became aware of it in the 1940s, the better land, at least, was generally well farmed. The farms were mostly small and were highly diversified, producing cattle, sheep, and hogs, tobacco, corn, and the small grains. Nearly all the farmers milked a few cows for home use and to market milk or cream. Nearly every farm household maintained a garden, kept a flock of poultry, and fattened its own meat hogs. There was also an extensive support system for agriculture. Every community had its blacksmith shop, shops that repaired harnesses and machinery, and stores that dealt in farm equipment and supplies. Now the country is not well farmed, and driving through it has become a depressing experience. Some good small farmers remain, and their farms stand out in the landscape like jewels. But they are few and far between, and they are getting fewer every year. I want us to think about what Wendell Berry said about the farm and relate it to God's church. And how in the small community church, we are that for one another. We are that business that does internal work and that business that does the internal formation and the external transformation. But God's churches are getting fewer and farther apart, and the numbers are dwindling. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Are we ready to meet the Lord of the harvest and say, "Here I am, send me"?